Level up with Dr. Leyland. Step into the future, the world is waiting now. Dreams are in the making, we'll show you how. From the books to the screen, from the stage to the stars. Level up your game, let's raise the bar. Innovation, inspiration, it's in our DNA. Breaking through the limits, we're paving the way. Level up, reach the sky, take the lead, don't be shy. Your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up will be heard, building a legacy with every word. From podcasts to pages, from business to art, Level Up's the place where it all can start. With heart and with vision, we're chasing every goal. Together we'll ignite the fire in your soul. Level Up, reach the sky, take the lead. Don't be shy, your story's worth it, your light will shine. At Level Up Academy, it's your time. Oh, it's your time. At Level Up Academy, we rise and climb.
Welcome, everybody. How are you guys doing? I hope everyone is doing fantastic today. Happy Wednesday. It is always a check-in and midweek of what's happening with you and yours. And today we're going to have an amazing conversation with Janice Debo. And we are going to be talking about a lot of turning conversations into clients and collaborations. And I actually call this relationship ROI, right? It's always give and take. And sometimes we were just talking about it. Some people just take and take. So how do we change the take and take into give and take? So this is Janice. Look at that beautiful smile. Networking coach and business consultant. And this is the title of our conversations today. But first, let me go over some of my sponsors. This is for Rice Coffee. You guys know I love my Rice Coffee. It is 48% caffeine. And so that means that you don't have highs and lows and crashing and all that and stomach ache when you drink coffee like myself. I drink coffee pretty much twice a day. I have to for migraine purposes here. But this coffee, right, mushroom, guys, don't think you're going to have any psychedelic effect. It doesn't work like that, okay? That's not that kind of mushroom I'm putting out there. There's six different kinds of mushroom. This is called functional mushrooms, okay? It's 100% vegan. It has six different mushrooms. One is cordyceps. It is for giving you energy. The second is lion's mane. I have a lot of these. It's focus, especially if you're neurodiverse and you are what? If you have ADHD like me, I need focus sometimes. Reishi is for stress relief. You know you're stressed. So you need a little bit of that. Shiitakes for your immune support. The next time you go to your Vons or Barnes and Nobles, you need that shiitake mushrooms. You go to the restaurant, shiitake mushrooms, that's for immune support, right? People who are sick, coughing and having this non-COVID COVID cough that stays for 3 months. I've had those a couple times. I need shiitake mushroom. Turkey tail, it's for your healthy digestions. You know what I'm talking about. If you drink coffee, you have stomach ache or like feeling bloated. And if you're over 40, that perimenopause and menopause is real, okay? So combine that with this. Oh, but when you have this, it actually helps with your tummy. And then the last one is my favorite, king trumpet mushroom. It fights oxidative stress. What does that mean? When you go out, whether you wear makeup or not, your skin, your entire body, right, is actually what? Exposed to oxidation. That means wrinkles, right? All of those skin problems you have. Guess what? King Trumpet is there for you. So this is what I can give you as a fellow listener. If you go to ricefoods or superfoods.com, if you put Constance Leland 15, you get 15% coupon. All right, guys. Oh my gosh. This book right here already came out, guys. Already came out. It is a number one international bestseller. We don't guarantee our books will always hit number one international, but we've been blessed and lucky. And I'm grateful that the last five that we published literally hit number one international bestseller. The first one that I published, Beyond Boundaries, is in Miami University bookstore. It's in one of the famous bookstore in Netherlands. It is in Barnes and Nobles, Target, you name it. Right, I put it out there and I did a press release on it, and it's on 1500 SEO links, television, Word, Google, Bing, you name it, it's all in there. That's the power of Level Up. I can literally put you out everywhere you need to be. In terms of academic publishing, guys, I didn't put it in here, but I actually want to invite you. There is a conference April 24th and 25th. I'm sorry, April 28th and 29th, this month, you get 6 different problems that we are putting in, and we're gonna actually provide solutions in it. And this is academic because it is backed by research. It's not what we think, it's what we think the problem is, and we found solutions backed by research to provide for you. Whether you're a policymaker, you're a business entrepreneur, you're a mover and shaker, whoever you are, we found solutions for this 6 issues. I know there's multiple issues, but we're talking about mental health. We're talking about ADHD assessment. We're talking about mentoring for women and girls. That's my topic. I love that. I have 2 daughters. And then we also are talking about belonging and productivity. We're talking about mental health for youth, right? So we said prevention. We're also talking about public policy changes from medical to policy change to technology. That's what we're talking about in these 6 different topics. So we have 3 different presenters on Monday and 3 different presenters on Tuesday. We have East Coast and West Coast. Yeah. Danielle, myself, Susana is on April 28th. Miguel, Charles, or Charlie Robinson, and Shonda is going to be on Tuesday, and they're on the East Coast. So please watch those. It is free. There's no cost to you. We just wanted to provide the information. We're going to present it to you. It is not live. You have to register. And actually, if you go to levelupwithdoc.com, it's actually on the conference 2025, so it's human first, because we have been busy thinking about technology, AI. But at the end of the day, AI is like the internet, guys. It's a tool to what? Elevate your skills, right? Your perceived weakness can be elevated using the right tools, but human first, right? The nuances, the facial expressions, AI can't do it yet. Maybe in 20 years from now, but at this moment we're living today, AI is a tool to elevate your perceived weakness. That's how my quote is, okay? So that is where we are. I was going to show you my magazine, but it's downstairs. It's so beautiful. It just came. And I do magazines as well by June. So if you are a business leader, let me know if you need to amplify your message. It is both physical and online. All right, let's go and bring Janice because I want to get to know her. Okay. Hello, YouTube. We have about 589 people watching us live. Janice, are you ready?
I'm ready. Thank you.
Awesome. Okay, so first of all, beautiful smile. Welcome, welcome. Since this is your first time here at Level Up, I will ask you this question. Think back 20 years ago and find within your timeline some of the significant changes in your life that got you here where you are today.
Oh my, that is an amazing question. 20 years ago, I was living in North Carolina, which where I was born and raised. So speaking of East Coast, and I took a chance. I never saw this happening, but a little over about 16 years ago, I decided to move to Colorado Springs. And it was to leave a situation, but mostly pioneer adventure. And I had left my home there, moved to Colorado Springs, thinking I was going to settle there, but met someone. And that moved me into Oregon. I'd never heard of where I live. I knew Oregon. I knew Oregon, but all I knew was Portland and Bandon. But I wound up in the middle of Redmond, Oregon. And I had a lot of business experience. I have tons, 2 decades or more years in business. And what I've done is significant. However, when I left, I never knew what I was going to do. I had no idea I would transition like I have. Now, 15 years ago, I got married and moved to this area and discovered that I needed something to do besides work part-time in a retail store, which led me to, I don't know how far you want me to go, but that led me into a business that transitioned me into getting me back out there. Because I was, I knew people, I networked, I did all the things to have a successful business in North Carolina. But I was just working in a little retail store. So we bought an online, not much of an online clothing store, but it was ladies sleepwear. And I took that from pretty much a flailing company to very successful in the first 2 years.
We talked about that on the phone, actually, when we were discussing. And I think, you know, people, when they think of retail stores, right, and all those ladies and gentlemen who are in retail, they think, oh, they're never going to go anywhere, blah, blah, blah. Did you know that those are the breeder and sandboxes for networking? Because you have that personal connection, you hone in your and build rapport. The reason I said that is because I used to work at Geico as a manager, and it's always over the phone, and we close sales over the phone. And I think it's harder to close sales over the phone because you don't have that peer pressure of face to face, right? But I work part time for Bath and Body Works because I needed to have all my paycheck literally before I get it. It's already done. It's spent on Bath and Body Works. I love the smell of Bath and Body Works. So I know how that is when it comes to like building rapport, and those are the mad skills that you really get, right? So I was looking at your about page on LinkedIn. And this is my next question for you. Mm-hmm. You've spent over 20 years in sales, marketing, and relationship building. Mm-hmm. What originally drew you to this line of work, and how has your perspective evolved over the years?
I'll have to answer that by going back to pretty much childhood, but I won't take you there for the next 2 hours. It would take a while. However, I was born and raised with my father as a preacher. Now, we moved a lot. So what happened was I naturally became social and became friends. And it was something that I had to learn to make friends. You get moved around a lot, go to all these different schools. And I wound up getting to know a lot of friends just by nature. Well, fast forward into business, I had a job that I worked as a secretary. Never thought I was natural with sales, but I didn't want or think about a career with sales. But I was working with an office full of men, and apparently I am a little independent for their nature. I wound up having it suggested to me that I would be really good in sales because I didn't know how to take orders. I could take orders for business, but I didn't know how to take them in an office like a secretary. And that catapulted me into sales, that I started in a very little known company back then selling office telephone systems. Then that fast forwarded into a multitude of careers until I landed in with a Canon career of outside office equipment. So the transition to relationship building happened during that career. What transitioned me was I was working again with primarily the male population in my office. I think there were one or two other women occasionally there. And yet when I was selling, I was still dealing with mostly, and this is nothing against men. This is just, this is the nature of the sales business back when I was doing it. And most of it, honestly, had a lot of, I like to call it the used car salesman approach, salesperson approach, because it was competitive, get it cheaper. And I found a little book called Relationship Selling that spoke to me. I read that and my career went from, it was okay. It either tripled or quadrupled my income. I don't remember the specific things, but I learned that to take my natural skills of relationship building into the offices of people that I would meet and talk to about what I was selling, but I was more concerned with the person. And that's my nature. That is who I am. I am a relational person, and that fit.
I love that. No, I love that because I know what you mean. When you build rapport with somebody, it's really about it. Like I will buy from people I like, right? And sometimes you get pressured into buying something. Sometimes I see that on retail shops, depending on who's selling. Certain race, I should say, yes, I know, are very pushy. And you feel pressure to buy. So you buy. But I never go back there because I don't like feeling pressure when I buy something, right? So what I'm doing is I'm actually getting in there to make sure that when I do something and I buy something, I look at the person if I like them. And then I will keep coming back, right? So to get your customers to like you, it has to be an innate skills or really hone in skills that you have, right? For them to like, oh, I'm going to buy from Janice again because she's nice or she knows what she's doing or she's capable, right? So I love that you did that because that is something that most people sometimes don't think about. I wanted to also ask you, can you share a personal story where a strong connection made a game-changing difference in your career or business?
There are many of those, definitely. Let me give that just a quick thought. A personal story that made a game-changing difference in my business. Well, more recently, I believe my own personal development has come from my life. It's come from circumstances that not necessarily were engineered to make me a better person, but it's worked that way. The situation I went through after I came to Oregon was not just a marriage, but a divorce. And that divorce opened my eyes to take a good look at who I was and how I identified with myself and the world. It helped me to, and I would never recommend that to learn this lesson. Some people learn lessons going through things. Others preferably can learn it before then. However, I didn't. And I was working on myself for many, many years. I'm a writer and I had been writing for quite a while. However, that jolted me into a big and a very deep awareness of looking at what are you doing? I had to step away from blame. That took some time. I had to step away from feeling guilty. I had to step away from the victim. Those are things that are easy to cling to, and yet you dig yourself a bigger hole when in fact you're in a situation, you're trying to survive, you're trying to come through it, but the blame game, the victim game, somebody did this to me. That's what it just threw me in a dark place for a while. And it took some assistance of another coach and some good friends to help me see my way out. But once I got out of the worst of it, then I started the introspection of, okay, what am I doing here? What am I doing that has brought me to this point? What did I do? What triggered me that I made these decisions? And the biggest thing I say when you're in those situations and out of those is to look at yourself from a third party perspective to say, okay, what would I tell somebody else? Step outside yourself. And that's what I had to do. And when I did that, it transitioned my coaching business to be even more effective to reach out to people. I can feel their pain more easily. I'm less guarded. I feel more open to assist than I even had in the past. And I'm good at what I do, but we all have different strengths. And I love working with compassion and being very relational with my clients, because in the end, we're all human beings, and you cannot pull your business out of your personal life, and you can't pull your personal life out of your business. You're one person, and if you're in business or have a business, it's a part of who you are. You just can't pull them apart and say, this is that and this is the other.
True. And I love that you're doing that. So that's why we align. And that's why you're here, because I like transformational relationships and transactional. Because transactional is good for one time, but not all the time, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not sustainable to be transactional, especially in today's day and age where everyone is using AI to leverage and elevate their skills. And so it's a matter of relationship. And I understand that we're not for everybody, right? There's always going to be somebody for you, though. That's what I'm saying. And that's why I don't see why people are always like, you have to be above your competition and da 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 da. And I was like, no, you have to be above everybody else, not just your competition, because there's such so much noise. And that's why I created this platform, so that we can be collaborating only the right people that we need to collaborate with. And I'm not saying there's bad or good people. There is. But in terms of business, right, sometimes you have to be blind by those, but it's not good energy. So I don't do transactions with people that I feel icky anymore. Right. I used to be like, okay, fine. You know, like my boundaries was low, and I felt like my acceptance of people and tolerance of people's nonsense was low until I created boundaries. So I literally narrowed down the path to level up, because I think not everyone is ready for you, right? Sometimes we give level 10 to people who are not there yet, and they're level one. Like you said, like you mentioned, you know, some people are always on the blame game and they're staying there, and they can't somehow see the road and the path to positivity yet. And then you're trying to inject positivity, but you can't control people. They have to be ready. They have to be ready when they're ready and they're like, okay, you know what? I'm done with excuses and I'm ready to go. Janice, help me. So I like that. I also wanted to pivot the conversation a bit on the connection, because that's what we're talking about, you know, turning these conversations with our clients and collaborations into transformational relationship ROI. So how do you help entrepreneurs attract the right clients and business partners through strategic networking, rather than just casting like, this is a wide net for everybody?
Yeah, I love that you said wide net, because that is such an accurate description. I'm just going to throw it all out there and see what sticks. I think strategic networking comes somewhat by intuition, frankly, because when I work with clients, I don't know how, besides just the fact that I bump into one person, I go, okay, this person needs to meet that person. And that happened multiple times this week, and it kind of blew my own mind how quickly it happens. But say a client was asking me recently about getting someone that does a particular service that they need. And I'm on doing my social media thing, and I wasn't being strategic with it, except that I was aware that she needed it. And this particular person that fits popped up in my feed. I didn't have to go looking, but strategically, I think it's being aware of where you need to be. I have done a lot of, and I do mean a lot of, in-person networking groups. I've run multiple networking groups. I've been on boards of directors of networking groups. I have been out there trying to connect people at many different levels, and I was successful. However, thankfully, I like meeting people in person, but with technology, I have met more people and had more success because I can't be everywhere at once, and I can't be across the country. You're in one state, I'm in another. And being strategic means being aware of what you need, being aware of who you want to meet, and being, let's get back to awareness, because if you're not aware, and I've been targeted on this topic, talk about people that didn't understand what I do. It's like you need a target market. You need to hone down. You need to narrow down. You need to do this. You need to do that. It never felt right. Never, ever felt right. I kept trying. And matter of fact, I just finally said, no, what's best for me? What do I want and what's best for me? And in finding that, I've met more people. I've opened up to do things like a podcast and things like writing that have drawn people to me that I didn't expect. So being strategic is knowing what you want to begin with, not letting everybody else tell you what you need or tell you what you want. Take a look at who you are. It, for me, there is no one industry or one target market. It's a market that, who do I need to meet? And listen to your intuition of, if do you need to go somewhere? Do you need to go sit in a coffee shop? Is there somebody there that you need to meet? Do you need to be on social media looking, you know, not, don't get all stressed out, because I've done all that. I was on 3 boards of directors at one time, all to do with networking.
That's a lot. I'm like, that is a lot, especially for one topic. Mm-hmm. I like that you brought out the conversation on niche down. I think a lot of professionals, you know, pre-COVID, I call it, everything pre-COVID just doesn't work anymore after COVID or during COVID. So pre-COVID, yes, you have to niche down. You know, I think the reason for niching down is not for anything else other than people can't comprehend that you do multiple things. But yet, you know, you do multiple things. It's like saying, don't pitch slap me, don't sell me, but I want to buy. Huh? You know what I mean? Like, that's how complicated humans are, right? Like, I don't really want to do anything, but how much was that? You know, it's just crazy how our brain thinks. But the reason for niching down is because people can only comprehend one thing at a time. Not that they're stupid or anything like that. It's more of like, the brain, we're so socially accustomed to just saying your business can only solve one thing. That is back in the industrial days where we specialize on one thing. If you're a secretary, that's all you do is secretary, right? If you are a machinist, that's all you do. You're a machinist and you can't do anything else. If you are this, that's... But in today, because of technology, because of our abilities to do things, it seems like we have more than 24 hours a day because we can leverage things. And also as a mom, right, you know, you have to do at least three things all at once. You got to go cook, be quiet with that baby, watch the TV, what's happening on the news. And then, oh, wait, I got to do laundry and just turn it on for a minute. Wait, let me flip that bacon, right? Like that is our daily activities as a mom.
Exactly.
Right. You work, you pick up the kids, you got soccer. Oh, wait, I have a meeting here. I have a board meeting here. Okay, no problem. We don't think about it. It's because we know in our brain it's necessary. This mm-hmm. is how we roll, right? And that's why I think women are more, I don't want to say like Well, I can say that. We are more multitasker at a time and we can do more things. Not that men are not capable. It's because of how we're put into this social work, right? This is our social work. So when we do network, yes, the only thing that I think deter us, because I can't wait to show you guys the results. I don't remember where I put my thing. I had it last night. 20, I think, hold on. Yes, I have it here. 2021, US, we're number 30 in wage gap earner for gender gap men and women. We're number 30 in the world out of 143 countries that they studied. And in 2022, we went to 27. I'm like, yes, we're moving, you know, from 30 to 27. And then 1 year later in 2023, we went from 27 to number 43. In the world, okay, yeah. And wage gap. So why are women in United States earning less than men from 27 to 43? Iceland is always number one because it's probably a smaller country, but we could learn from them, right? Mm-hmm. We're so proponent on big on women and, you know, we have a lot of women opportunities. I'm not saying we don't, but as a whole country, these are just one percenter that you're seeing on TV or news or TikTok, whatever. But as a whole, in this country, women are so behind on wage, you know, earn. Why is that? Because why? We still do multiple things. And mostly we're doing mom stuff. Some of us have to stop working. I didn't work for 10 years because I had to take care of my kids. But I didn't just sit there. I got my education. I got my master's. I got my doctorate while my kids were doing there. Because I plan ahead that I know my kids are going to not going to stay babies, right? So I love that. And Lauren, thank you so much. I think this is our first time being here. So thank you for that. Now, I wanted to ask you this. What advice do you give to people who feel like they give more than they received? We have this conversation in professional relationships. Like, how do you create healthy reciprocal dynamics?
Oh, well, I'd be a multi-gazillionaire if I had that pat answer. I find that that is a difficult question because I have clients that they're always reciprocating, but I still am very much a giver. I read a book not too long ago, and I have to suggest if you haven't read The Go-Giver, for anybody, I would highly recommend it. Because in sales and business, I think if everybody gave more, they would, that's reciprocating versus one person giving it all. With clients, of course, that's what they pay me to do, but I always go above and beyond. And yet you can't make somebody want to give. I mean, people are going to take if you keep give. I think having conversations with people that might relate to, I don't know how to put this, because if I'm doing business with you, we're reciprocating, like you're, for instance, podcast, live stream, this thing, you're having me as a guest, I'm having you as a guest. That's reciprocating. And that to me is what it's all about. Now, if I'm selling you something, that's a different relationship and a different level. However, when it comes to, and I'm online all the time with this kind of thing, there are people, they don't have it in them. They don't know how to give. They want you to give them what they need. And that's just a societal norm, I think, in a lot of ways. I think we have somewhat created that in our society, that we can have and take. But in business, if I'm going to do you a favor, I do it out of the goodness of my heart. I don't even think about it most of the time. And I've kind of been calling myself on the carpet to give myself a break because I've done so much of that. Give and give and give. But you know, you're a giver too. We've talked about that. We both are learning to receive. And I don't, you know, in business, unless you teach people that it's just how you do business, is especially, I don't know how else to say that because it's a very difficult thing with people aren't willing to give. They just want you to give to them. That's so true.
I think I'm trying to answer that question myself too. So from like a level up perspective, I think we often meet professionals and entrepreneurs who feel drained by one side relationships. Like how often do I hear that? A lot, right? They're givers like you. They're connectors like you, always showing up for others, but rarely feeling supported in return. So my advice would be shift your mindset from giving to impress, meaning to giving to empower, and then set clear boundaries that protect your energy and values. So when you give, don't expect reciprocity right away, because sometimes you got to feel the people, right? So I teach my clients that reciprocity starts with clarity. You need to clearly communicate your goals, your value, and what kind of collaboration or supporting you're seeking, because sometimes people can't show up for you if they don't know how. Sometimes you got to like spell it out. We also encourage our community to build intentional relationships with people who align with their purpose and respect mutual growth. So when I usually meet somebody for the first time, I always ask, what are you passionate about? Because I want to see that you're passionate about the same thing I'm passionate about, which is helping people, right? So if that align, I'm like, okay, there's a collaboration there. When you surround yourself with others who are legacy driven, like myself, I level up in the hounds of business, the dynamic naturally becomes more reciprocal. You don't even have to ask, right? Because it's more impactful, more energizing. But ultimately, though, healthy professional relationships are built on aligned values, open communications, mutual respect. Now, if you're not getting that, it's time to audit your circle and start connecting with people who are ready to level up with you and that just benefit from you, right? I think it's just that alignment. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. Yep. Mike, thank you so much for being here. I love that. This is my next question. For those who struggle with networking, especially introverts, I do have some of those people. What's your go-to strategy for building meaningful connections without feeling transactional, like we talked about, or overwhelmed?
Oh, I love this question so much. In my early days of coaching, because I started out as being a master networker, I took that to a new level with my clients, and I would personally give them an assignment, and I'd go with them to a networking event at that time. And I told them, I'm going to make you uncomfortable a little bit. Don't worry about it. You're just going to have fun with it. In a couple of instances, I literally sent my client by themselves to the other side of the room. I said, that person across the room is by themselves. I want you to go and introduce yourself to them. And of course, I get the I said, this is how you're going to break that fear of meeting people. And that's really, I have had several introverted clients. And giving them an assignment of just, or walking into a group of people that were already talking, that really makes them uncomfortable. But I've had to do this myself. I walk up and just stand and kind of listen to the conversation, not eavesdropping, and see if I can contribute. When you're an introvert, you have to honor that part of who you are, that you don't want to go stepping out and meeting people. But what you do, I think we've lost her. I hope you come back, CJ. Oh, anyway, if you're there, you are. Are you there? Woo!
Okay. You're good. Take it over.
Just taking over. Yeah, just do something uncomfortable that is not life altering, life shattering. And in social media, see, the virtual introductions do make it easier, but not necessarily better, because human contact is important. But another thing that I've advised introverts to do that are clients, always have your business card on you or some way to share who you are and what you do. Go to the grocery store and buy your groceries. And when you're checking out, or find somebody in the store to talk, you know, just go, hi, how are you? Show more concern and interest in the other person than getting your message out. And that is true for relationship building personally and professionally. if you're not genuinely interested in that other person and what they do, then you're going to fail. You're going to fail at building relationships because you can't just, if like, let's say we're really good friends. And if I don't care anything you say, I just can't wait to talk about myself. I think you've probably met people that are like that. It's important to show more, to be not show more, be more interested in the other individual, whether it's on social media, on in person, when you're going to the grocery store, getting gas. Just listen for opportunities to meet somebody new or reach out to somebody that you haven't in a while. However, is that my, I always pick a word for a, every year. I pick a word that I kind of live by that year. And this year is authenticity. To me, being authentic is at the top of the list of building relationships, being yourself and being more interested in others.
I love that. I think last year, authenticity was my word. This year is disrupt. Disrupt is what that's my word for the year. For me, okay, so Sana is actually an introvert. And so I pushed her to go to networking, but she's the type of person, like each person learns differently. And some people learn by seeing and doing, and some people learn by listening. Some people learn just by watching, right?
Yeah.
So Susanna loves to just watch and then she'll do. So what I have done, I think last year, I took her to PodFest, which was the biggest, it was on the Guinness World Book of Record for the biggest podcasters event. Yeah. I was a speaker for Healthcare Amplified about social media. I grew my YouTube to 141,000% in 6 months. So I was there to have the conversation of how I did it. And, you know, people would love to know. And I said, okay, sure, let's have a conversation. Anyhow, so she watched me. That was the first time that we met in person, in real life. We've talked before. And I said, okay, watch what I do and see which part that you are willing to do. Because sometimes when we push people to get uncomfortable what they're doing, two things happen. A, they're going to do it, or B, they hate it some more, right? So what I do is I say, watch how I do it. But here's the strategy when I go to networking. I don't know if you do this, but I usually say, okay, when you go to a networking event, you have to have some pop colors, okay? Because everyone watch is always going to be, depending on the where you're at, is always going to wear black or gray because that's like the neutral zone. I don't ever do that. I either wear pink, red, green, something bright, and they're like, what is that? Because they'll be memorable. They might not remember your name, but they'll remember your face. You know that lady that was wearing a really dark green jacket, or that pink lipstick was just popping, what was her name? And then they start looking for you, right? Mm-hmm. Because sometimes they don't remember names. I'm bad at remembering names, but I'll remember color and faces. So mm-hmm. I'll start digging, and I say, that's first thing. Okay, if you want to really be memorable to somebody, you got to have a pop of colors. Second, when you go to networking, okay, most people want to get to know you. My strategy is I'm all about alignment. I'm not going to network just to talk to a bunch of people. Most people were like, talk to a bunch of people. And then you go home, you don't even remember them. I'm very intentional. So what I do is I sit from the corner and I watch. You will see the movers and shakers. They will be on every single conversation. You'll see it. Then you'll see somebody who's always in the corner or sitting in their chair, not moving at all. Third is you'll see somebody who smiles a lot, but you see the uncomfortableness, right? So watch those people for a good 5 minutes. And what you're going to do is you either A, comfortable talking to the people who's talking a lot because they're willing to talk about anything, or B, talk to somebody who doesn't talk to anybody at all. So you guys will be both comfortable because you don't talk much anyway. So it's kind of nice that someone's talking. Or three, you kind of just mingle and not say. Once you have that down, the third step would be, now that you have that, I don't introduce myself like that. When people are like, okay, and I have this in my mentoring, I said, okay, how do you introduce yourself? They're like, oh, I say this. I'm like, okay, is that somebody you want to know? Right? That's the thing. Because when you open your mouth, the moment you open your mouth, people will judge you if they want to be talking to you or not talking to you.
Good point.
Right? That's true.
Right. It's
like, very true. A aligned with mine. So when you open your mouth, you got to be selective in what you say, right? Because like you said, it's not, you, what you do is not who you are.
Mm-hmm.
But how do you exert yourself to who you are if you don't say what you do, especially if you're on networking? Mm-hmm. So that was my then their next question. I said, I always just introduce, hi, my name is CJ. I just say my name. And then I ask them a question. I turn it around and said, hey, guys, what are you passionate about? I don't talk about the thing that's happening right now. Like, what do you do? How much do you make? Where do you work? That's just so average. Like, that is so basic. Mm. I don't do that. And the reason is that the conversation, again, not only your color is popping, now your conversation, your questioning is now memorable.
Yeah.
Wow, I was asked by this person. It was so different. She didn't ask me what I do. She asked me what I'm passionate about.
Right.
Because that's people fantastic. Live up to your passion, not for what you can give, right? And
yeah.
If I attract, and then you'll notice people will come to you more, right?
Correct.
You don't have to be the most knowledgeable in the room, but you got to get that hone in. Once you have that, then you can move, okay, which person should I be talking to? And they're more likely to have the conversations. Once you have that one-on-one, then you'll have comfort because it's like talking to somebody, right? But when you're in a group setting, sometimes people get really, so that's how I filter my networking. That's how I roll my networking. And Susanna knows because I've seen her like with me, she follows me and I push her. I'm like, okay, you saw what I did, right? She goes, yeah, go. And I push her and she's like, okay. So she has, sometimes in networking, you have to have a buddy system. Like, how do you do this mission? I don't know. Let's go do that. You know, like I always make sure that she's on top by like showing her how to do it, but not push her on something that she's uncomfortable with, like just the conversation. Because when we went to the AI show, she's like, I don't know anything about AI other than ChatGPT. I'm like, I got you. This is the conversation, how it works. And then that's where it is. And what do you think? How do you network?
Well, when I've been out in the networking realm, you know, in person, I like the pop of color thing. I like that. And I think I'm wearing black today. So I kind of went, oh my, but yeah, it's like, what do I do? But I do that too. I just didn't think about it when I go out, you know, purple, teal, I do typically put on bright colors. When I go networking, when I go to meetings, I've kind of gotten past the business card stage because I'm not kidding. I must have had 1,000 business cards and I finally just went, I don't know, don't collect a business card. I like the passion thing that you mentioned because I'm all about what are you passionate about? But I would just say, you know, my name, introduce myself to someone and ask them their name. But most times people just start rattling off, oh, I do this. And I don't even ask. It's just the way people have been trained. And obviously most of my networking these days is virtual. There's where I live is not the biggest area for one-on-one networking. So for me, it's virtual. And I always say, introduce myself and say, so what do you love to do? Who are you at, you know, as far as what you love in life? And of course, most of what I see online is people selling stuff, selling their things. But when I start working with people and talking with people, that's not what they love. That's not what they really want to do. I've got a client that she loves what she does and she's good at it, but she's an artist. At heart, she's an artist. I've got one of her paintings. So networking to me is being yourself and being more concerned with the other person. But I like infusing that passion piece into it because I do it without, honestly, some of these questions are wonderful, but I do it without thinking about it. So I have to think, do I do that? And I do. I do. And when I've taken people out networking before, CJ, just to clarify, I don't thrust them out there. I do teach them first. I figured you would.
And you're like, you know what? Today is test day. Let's go. And that's good because sometimes I think most people like to watch how you do it first before they do it. Like with my students, you know, they saw this final project and the text is like 5 pages long. And then they have like 6 questions. They're like, Dr. Leland, there's no way I can do elevator pitch in 60 seconds. I'm like, God, he goes, I could do it 5 minutes. I'm like, what kind of elevator are you riding that you are there for 5 minutes? Like, are you in Dubai? Like, well, what is happening? You know, elevators, 30 to 60 seconds. Like, that's literally, if you have Elon Musk right there in the elevator, you're going to take 5 minutes. He didn't have time for you. He didn't even know who you are. Right. So this is right. Like a Hank married elevator pitch, like literally. So I do that in my class and I said, okay, watch me. I'll show you exactly how to answer these questions in 60 seconds. And it literally has CTA at the end. And they're like, oh, wow. Yeah, I can do that. Right. So that's what I'm saying. Most people don't know until you show them, you know, exactly. How it works. So I love that. So this conversation is so fun right now. I love this. Before we end, and I don't want to end, but before we end, I want to ask you this last question. This is a little bit more personal, really. If this is your last day today on this earth, what would be your parting message to your current and future families in terms of living life, legacy, and impact?
My life is represented by courage. And that's obviously something that I hold very, very dearly. I would say, be courageous. You've got one day. What do you want to do? For me, I would say just be courageous and do something that you wouldn't do normally. I mean, let's don't go jump off a cliff with a, you know, and climb rocks if you're not a rock climber and that kind of thing. But do something that you wouldn't normally do and be transparent with, for me to be courageous. My whole life has been one of courage and I didn't know it until the last few years. So I'd say represent your life and leave a legacy of courage, because we've talked about legacy in other conversations, CJ, and courage is going to be my legacy. It truly is. And I would say, find what you love, do it with all your heart. Don't leave a stone unturned for finding out what means the most to you, and leave that for someone to find. If it's writing a book, if it's recording an audio, do something that just makes you want someone else to learn from. That legacy being who you are is represented by, let's say, one word, and I can challenge people. What's one word that represents your life? For me, it's courage. So.
I love that. Mike is hilarious over here with his elevator pitch. He's like, my elevator pitch is 10 seconds max and people drive or run away. The worst response is, oh, that's nice.
I love it.
Courage for sure. Courage means being willing to look at silly things and being a beginning. Well, okay. So for me, if I were to talk to my future family as of right now, I would say that everything I've built, created, and fought for was never just about me. It was about paving a path for you. Mm-hmm. So you'd never feel like your dreams were too big, your voice were too small, or your story unworthy of being told. Yeah. I want you to know that greatness lives inside you. It's not defined by status or money or applause, but by how you show up for others, how you live your truth, and how you keep growing even when life is heavy. And then be kind, be bold, be relentless about your joy and your peace. And remember, your legacy isn't something you leave behind. It's something you live every single day.
Yes.
So rise, love, lead. And when the world tells you to shrink, to be small, level up instead.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's what I would say. Well, wow, Janice, this is so amazing. Now, let me actually ask you for one of our listeners is texting me right now and really talks and wants me to ask you this, okay? if someone wants to start improving their relationship building skills today, right now, what is the first mindset shift or habit they should adopt?
Wow. One thing. I'd say, wow. How do you narrow that down? For me, it came naturally. It doesn't for a lot of people. One mindset shift would be believing in yourself. That is a huge one. And really, I have given assignments to groups of women, and I would say start here. Learn to like yourself to begin with. Learn to like yourself, because when you like yourself, the right people will like you and want to be around you. So I can give you one assignment. Go to a mirror and look in the mirror and say, I like you. You don't have to say I love you. You can just say, I like you. I accept you. And work on yourself to really learn how to love yourself, like yourself first. It's going to take liking first before loving. I guarantee it. So I would work on that mindset. Just learn to love and accept yourself, like yourself. So shift that perspective. And then, because a lot of times the reason we can't build relationships is we don't like who we are. We don't like who we are, right? It's like, they're not going to like me because I don't like me. But let me tell you this too. That's not frequently something that's in our conscious. It's our subconscious. We don't even know we don't like ourselves. And these women that I told in a group to do that one time, I said, if you don't do it, don't come back. Well, they did come back. I said, who went to a mirror? And they say, I did, but it wasn't easy. I'm like, I didn't tell you to stand naked in front of the mirror. just look at your face, look yourself in the eye and say, I like you.
That's so funny. I'm like, oh, Janice, you're stretching me now. There's this muffin topping from being a mom. There's, you know, like, oh, Jesus, there's wiggly wigglies when you're old. There's double chin. Like, what the heck?
Hey, but we get to fly when wiggle, we wiggle. Wiggle.
We just go wiggle, wiggle, people. That's
right. Well, I hope that helps, but I'd say.
I love it. I love it. Let's see. I want to answer that question. I say lead with curiosity, right? Mm-hmm. Not a sales agenda when you go to a networking event. Instead of thinking, what can I get from this person? Ask, how can I genuinely connect, learn, and add value? When your focus shifts from transactional to transformational, when we talked about, people feel that energy, by the way, and they want to engage with you. As for habit, though, I would say start showing up consistently and authentically. That's what we talked about also, whether it's a quick message or a supportive comment or an invitation to collaborate, connect. Connection grows with presence, right? So, guys, I know that right now, I don't know what's happening with LinkedIn or anywhere else, like, visibility wise in terms of engagement is kind of weird for me, right? But it's not about being just go everywhere to all this 20 million other platform. It's about being real where you are. I usually pick between 3 to 5 platforms that I'm in. And because we say here at Level Up, visibility means nothing without integrity, right? Build with heart, lead with impact, and the right relationships will not only come, they'll stay and grow with you. Because sometimes when you are so busy sales pitching, like I said from the beginning, you'll get that one time, that one person one time, but that one time is not sustainable, mm-hmm. right? And so basically, like, Susanna was literally like a friend, client, and then bestie. Like, that's how it works, right? And so was Mike. And so we engage that way because we want to help each other. It's a cycle, like chicken or the egg. It's kind of the same relationship, right? When you give, they give. When you give, they give. And we don't ever keep score. I think the people who says, I'm transformational. And then you have an argument and then they're like, remember that time when I did this for you? I'm like, I didn't think that this was a transactional, but more a transformational type of friendship, but now I see, right? And exactly. So I don't like people who keep scores. on what I did or what they did for me. I like to just give, right? And sometimes it's a human habit that we have that we keep scores. But at the same time, like, if you do that, try to avoid it. Because it's not going to be in a good place, right? So thank you so much for being here today, Janice. I love this conversation. And I appreciate you coming in here. And do you have any last minute things? Are you selling anything? Are you having a coaching program? What are we doing?
I have a book. You can find everything on my website, janicedevoe.com. My book is called Courage, Confidence, and Connections. And it is available to purchase on the website. You can reach out to me on pretty much any social media where I am. So I'd love you to buy that book. It's a journal. And as far as you read my blog on one page and you write your notes and answer some questions for your life. And then I have programs. I have one main program that I focus on, but I transform that program to meet what you need. So in my coaching, speaking of transformational, it's fairly flexible, I flow with it. So I find out what you need as a client, and then we go from there, and I take the program out of the box and make it what you need. I love to work with people that even have teams. So I like to work in the area of teamwork to build trust and communication skills. I've worked with teams before and can really assist in improving those two things of trust and communication. And let's see, is there anything else I sell? I love what I do. I'm very passionate about what I do. And I also, if I can say, I have a podcast. If anybody is, I would love to have you as a guest. I'm going to have CJ on there in the future, not too distant future too. The book and my coaching, I'd love to discuss it with anybody that's out there that is aligned with this. I'm very much about alignment too.
Yeah, alignment is everything, because you can't improve yourself when you already are apprehensive. It's either you're 100% in, but not 50% in, because nothing works. And also stop the attitude of self-gratification. I know Amazon has made us think everything is done in 2 days. No, not everything done in 2 days when it comes to yourself, people. It's a journey. And you have to really enjoy the goods, the buds, and the ugly every single day. But it's more of a mindset of don't look for the outcome, but live for the journey. Live for what's happening today, right now, at this moment. So thank you so much, Janice, for being here. I appreciate you. We hope to see you again soon, maybe on our TV show as well. Have a beautiful day, everybody. See ya.
Thank you.
Thank you.